Welcome to the Queen of Pep Talks podcast. I am the Queen of Pep Talks, Jessica Battle, founder and CEO of the Join Jessica XO brand, where I coach, speak, and influence women to improve their mindsets so they can become happier, healthier, and more successful than ever before. I am obsessed with helping women create the unwavering ability to believe in themselves in order to achieve a life beyond their wildest dreams. Each week, I'll bring you a series of pep talks that will encourage you to break through your own limiting beliefs and help you develop the mindset that will allow you to show up in your life to the best of your ability. If you're looking to lose your own bullshit excuses, get out of your own way, and grow into your infinite potential, well then, you're in the right place. Are you with me? Let's dive in. Hello, my love, and welcome back to another episode of the Queen of Pep Talks podcast. Happy Friday. Oh, we are here with a life update. It feels like it's been so long since I've provided y'all with a life update. I think we do them about once a month. My team does my podcast calendar for me, so I don't know when the last one was. But generally, when I'm preparing for a life update, I just sit down at my computer and I open up my Notion calendar. So many of you ask how I organize things within my business. My team and I use Notion to keep things organized and communicate back and forth with one another. But I sat down with Notion, I opened up today's podcast episode, and I just wrote down a few things in which I want to share with you that have happened in April, that are happening right now, that are coming up in the next couple of days. There's been a lot going on. I just first want to say I've been getting a number of messages recently on Instagram from people telling me how inspiring my content there has been as of lately. After I ran the 30-day content challenge, I decided to make some changes and pivots to my own content, and I am thoroughly enjoying it. And I've been getting a lot of feedback from you guys that you're really appreciating the way that I've been showing up on social media as of lately. And I just want to say thank you for that. I also want to say that if you're not seeing my posts on social media, I'd recommend that you do, because if you love the podcast, and of course, you're probably going to love what I share on social media as well. And a lot of people who are not immersed in the social media world don't really understand that if you don't engage with somebody's content, you're probably going to stop seeing it. So your favorite content creators, if you appreciate their content, engage with it, send them DMs, like their stuff, comment on their stuff, save their stuff. Because the more you engage with their content, the more the algorithm is going to allow you to actually see that content. Sometimes I wonder, like, why my feed is full of the most random stuff. I was literally just watching a reel before I recorded this podcast episode of cats rapping a Busta Rhymes song. It was hysterical, but I engage with a lot of cat content, so I see a lot of cat content. Your algorithm is going to give you the types of content that you engage with. So that being said, if you're not seeing my posts and you want to, head over to Instagram and comment on a couple of my posts or like a couple of them or send me a DM, and it's likely I will start showing up in your algorithm again. So today on this life update, things I'm going to be sharing with you, I want to talk about my cardiologist appointment. I want to talk about Chris's bone marrow transplant journey because y'all, it's happening. I want to give you a little bit more insights to the Big Bench Challenge. I've been getting a lot of DMs on Instagram asking me about that, actually. I want to talk about the insane month that I had in April with expenses. Y'all, I think I spent $20,000 in April in expenses or more. And my mom is celebrating 4 years sober coming up, and I want to talk to you about a really important lesson that her sobriety has taught me. So, shall we start with the cardiologist appointment? We'll just go in the order in which I shared with you. We're going to go over things. I had a cardiologist appointment last week. It was actually a week ago, May 1st. I had a cardiologist appointment. I had shared with you guys, if you listen to exclusive pep talks, I did an entire episode over there around getting over your fear of going to the doctor. And I've shared really openly some of the fears that I've had around going to the doctor. When you live in a bigger body, going to a doctor is not the most enjoyable thing in the world because you're often shamed for your weight, told you need to lose weight. Every problem that you have is related to your weight or your diet or whatever. And my primary care physician many, many years ago actually suggested to me probably around age 22 or 23. It was shortly after I had gained back all of the weight that I had lost. He suggested that I get weight loss surgery, basically told me I was probably never going to be able to get control over my weight by myself because of the evidence that we had of me losing 100 pounds and gaining it all back and so on and so forth. So the bottom line, going to the doctor when you live in a bigger body, it can be very challenging and upsetting and nerve-wracking. Even if you don't live in a bigger body, going to the doctor can be very upsetting and nerve-wracking and really make you anxious. I totally understand that. So I've been working on my relationship with doctors. I established care with a new primary care physician at the start of the year. I think January 22nd was my first appointment. Establishing care with that doctor, which I'm very happy with her. She was very open to understanding me and getting to know me. But when I was there, one of the things that she did suggest was that I saw a cardiologist. Because my dad had his first heart attack in his 40s, heart event. It wasn't actually a heart attack. They called it a heart event in his 40s, and then went on to have many, many more, as well as my mom's dad had many heart issues older in life. They suggested that I see a cardiologist, and the first appointment that they had was at the start of May. So I went in to see the cardiologist. They share an office with my primary care physician. So it was the same office. I was down 16 pounds from January 22nd until May 1st. So February, March, April, over 3 months, it's taken me to lose 15 or so pounds, about 5 pounds a month, slow weight loss, but I'm very, very happy with it because again, that's not my primary focus. But what I want to talk about is my experience with the cardiologist because it's one that I will probably remember for the rest of my life. So I was very nervous going in there. Obviously, doctors make most people nervous. Heart doctor freaked me out a bit, knowing my family history, knowing that technically I am still obese, I think. I'm either overweight or obese. I'm definitely in one of those categories based off of my weight, which a lot of doctors, even though the BMI scale, in my opinion, is complete bullshit because it doesn't take so much into consideration, like your body composition and how much muscle you have on your body. It doesn't take those things into consideration. It still makes me nervous that when they look at my chart and it says, oh, she's obese, are they going to have some kind of awkward, uncomfortable conversation with me? So this cardiologist was really nice. They did an EKG on me. Everything came back looking normal, but obviously she had to get my history because she doesn't know anything about me. I'm a new patient to her. So we're talking and chatting about my history and she's asking me questions, getting to know me, like, do you work out? What type of exercise do you do? It was so nice to tell her I was a powerlifter, even though I have not done my first powerlifting meet yet. Honey, I am still a powerlifter. So that was really fun. And then she asked me, like, do I take walks? What does my step count look like? Do I track that kind of stuff? She was asking me if I do cardio, any type of cardio to get my heart rate up. She's asking me all these questions. She asked me about my diet and the way that I eat and what I drink most frequently and how often I drink alcohol and do I smoke and do I do drugs, all of this stuff, you know. So I'm telling her all of the things. I'm a power lifter. I do cardio for like 15, 20 minutes, 3 to 4 times a week. I really enjoy walks, especially in the nice weather. I get outside a lot. She saw my water tumbler. She said, I probably drink a lot of water if you're carrying one of those with you. And then I went on, we were having this conversation. I'm telling her these things and she's like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. She was really interested in the powerlifting stuff. And she goes, this is so cool. She said, did you play sports growing up? And I started actually laughing. And I was like, no, actually, I graduated high school at 250 pounds. And by the time I was close to 20, I was almost 300 pounds. And she sat down in her chair and she turned and she looked at me and the look on her face was just like she was in awe. So then I went on and I said, you know, I lost 100 pounds when I was 19. I said, but unfortunately, I didn't really learn anything in the process. Like I really just wanted to get thin. So I was eating as little as possible and working out as much as possible. And because I didn't really learn anything, I very quickly gained all of the weight back. And then I told her that I went on to lose the weight again, but was really struggling with my relationship with food. I have a history of binge eating, a history of emotional eating. And the whole time she's just like, her eyes are getting wider and wider. And I think her mouth is open at this point. And she's just like staring at me. And then I said, so I have now been able to maintain 80 pounds of weight loss. And I really enjoy the gym. I have really worked on my relationship with food. I'm 6 years binge free. I feel very happy and very healthy. My mindset is in a really good place. And she just looked at me and she was literally, it felt like she was dumbfounded. Like it, I felt like, from my opinion, she had never heard something like this before, which feels like she probably would have because she's a doctor and she sees a lot of people, but I don't know. The look on her face was priceless. And she said to me, I hope that you are so incredibly proud of yourself. She said, because what you have accomplished is something that most people fight their entire lives and never achieve. And I started crying, of course. And she was just telling me, like, she just kept saying, I am so proud of you. And then she asked what I do for work, and I told her about my business. And she said, I am so happy that you are helping people create this change for themselves because people struggle so bad. And I, from a doctor's perspective, I'm like, wow, yeah, like she probably sees, especially as a heart doctor, she probably sees the aftermath of a lot of obesity and a lot of people not taking care of themselves and not eating well and not exercising and not drinking water. And this is something that I've been thinking about this entire year because yes, I'm sharing my weight loss journey with you guys, but I think that the misconception from a lot of people, especially on social media, maybe not so much here because you guys are a little bit more deeply connected with me, but I think that the perception from people on social media is that weight loss is my goal right now. And I think what people are failing to see is I really have stepped into a place of wanting to take better care of myself. And I talked about this like living optimally and like taking care of my body, like optimal health. That's something that I'm really striving for. And I think that it's confusing for people because they see the weight loss and they think that I'm doing the things that I did before to lose weight in terms of restrictive dieting and all of that. And I'm not. Like, I genuinely, as I'm getting older, I'm going to be 38 this year. 40 is around the corner. I'm recognizing that menopause is not too far off for me in life. Hormonal changes are not too far off for me in life. Heart disease and all of those things that my family has struggled with, diabetes, those things are not too far off from me in life. And I've really been deepening the desire to want to take care of my body. And I think that so many people fail to realize that it can be both. You can want to change your body. There's nothing wrong with wanting to change your body. The problem is when you're showing up for yourself in a way that is conditional, where you're saying, okay, yes, I'll do cardio, but I'm only doing cardio because I really want to lose weight. Okay, yeah, sure. I'll go to the gym and I'll strength train a couple of days a week, but I'm only doing that because of the way that I want it to change my body. Sure, I'll clean up my diet a little bit and I'll eat some more protein and I'll eat more vegetables in the short term, because I know the changes that it's going to help me make to my body. When it's conditional and the only reason we'll show up and do those things is because we want weight loss. And I've been guilty of that a million times over in my life. Like, I'm not saying you're wrong or bad if that's the way that you think, but I'm saying that it's a skewed way of thinking and there is a better perspective for you to have. One where you look at your body and you think, wow, you really deserve to be cared for. And that's why I'm going to do cardio, because it improves my heart health. I'm going to take walks after I eat because it improves my blood sugar regulation and my digestion. I'm going to eat protein because I know that it's going to help me keep as much muscle mass as I can as I continue to age. Like, those are the things that I want you to start thinking about and taking into consideration. Because if you're like me, you've spent a large majority of your life obsessing over the size of your body and believing that that is the most important thing. But as you age and when it comes to your health, there are far more important things for you to be focused on. So the cardiologist appointment really got me thinking about just all of the things that I've been doing for myself this year and beyond. I mean, I took things up a notch in December, but let's not get it twisted that a lot of what I'm doing right now, nearly everything, I was doing in some capacity before. I'm not doing anything extreme versus what I was doing before, which is why it feels so effortless and sustainable for me, because it's nothing crazy. It's not like I went from binge eating 5 days a week to having the relationship with food that I have right now in 4 months, 7 years in the making to get where I am right now. So I just want you to keep in mind that your health really does matter and you deserve to take care of your body. And I want for you to one day go to your doctor appointment and on your notes that they hand to you as you leave the office for it to say what mine said, which is excellent job, no changes, with a smiley face, because you deserve that. You deserve to take excellent care of your body. And while we are on the topic of doctors, let's move on and talk about Chris's bone marrow transplant, because it is happening in a couple of days. On Monday, he is getting the bone marrow transplant. We have been back and forth with the Be The Match agency, and the patient who is receiving the bone marrow transplant, her team of doctors, making sure that Chris is the very best fit, making sure that he is in incredible health and able to actually donate his bone marrow. Unfortunately, Chris has a sickle cell trait, so he is not able. Originally, they just wanted him to do the blood transplant, which would be like a 6-hour thing where he would just get hooked up and give a bunch of blood. But evidently, if you have the sickle cell trait, it is really hard to get the filgrastim, which is what they need from the blood. So it usually ends up that that blood transfer doesn't work for patients who have sickle cell trait. So unfortunately, but not that big of a deal, Chris is going to have to undergo surgery, and they're going to remove bone marrow from his hip. And that is happening on Monday morning. We have to travel to Washington, D.C. for him to get surgery there. So I have had to move a couple of things around for work. If you're scheduled to be a part of the Embody program, I apologize that I had to push the date back, but all of this happened really, really quickly, and they didn't really give us a say in the dates that it was happening. And unfortunately, it is a requirement, obviously, that someone travels to the hospital with Chris and is there to take care of him. So we will be there Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and arrive home on Wednesday. So I am just praying that everything goes smoothly. I think that it has been bringing me a little bit of anxiety this week, especially. I've just been feeling like I have a lot weighing on me. I have a million things going on in life and in business besides this as well. So it could be a mix of a lot of things, but I do think that it's been weighing on me. It's such a generous thing for him to do, and I'm so incredibly proud of him. Like, I'm so proud of him for doing this. The woman who is going to be receiving his bone marrow, like, the weekend of Mother's Day. I don't know if she has children, but if she does, like, just what a blessing to her and her family. And I was thinking about, like, worrying for Chris about what the surgery is going to be like and what the recovery is going to be like. They say that it's like a 3-week recovery, and we have a vacation planned, and he still wants to go on the vacation, and I don't think it's the best idea, and I feel like that's going to cause some rift between us at some point. But I was thinking about what Chris's experience is going to be with donating the bone marrow, and thinking about just his hospital stay and coming home and him adjusting and going back to work and all these things. And then I put it into perspective, and I'm like, this poor woman who is receiving his bone marrow transplant has to stay in the hospital for 100 days after the transplant. And just thinking about the emotional toll that that would take on somebody and their family to see their loved one, for her to experience that, to be in the hospital for 100 days. Like, this whole thing, it just is making me really emotional. I think it's like just, gosh, it's making me want to cry. It makes me really emotional. I'm so proud of him. I'm so happy for the woman who is receiving his bone marrow transplant. I think it's just such a beautiful and selfless thing for him to do. And I'm just really happy that I was the one that ended up getting that call that day, because I think he would have just said, this is spam, I'm not interested. And I just hope and pray that everything goes smoothly. So if you could say some prayers for Chris on Monday, that everything goes smoothly, that would be deeply, deeply appreciated. I'm sure everything will be fantastic. And I just hope that one day we will get to meet the woman that he is donating his marrow to. It's a really interesting process. We've had hours long phone calls with the company, and it's so interesting how you have to go through third parties to communicate with one another in the beginning. And you only really meet one another if both parties are really interested in that. So we shall see, just taking it one day at a time, and mostly just really proud of my baby, like so super proud of him. It's such a generous thing for him to do. So yeah. Okay. Moving on. Let's talk about my big bench challenge. Big bench challenge. I don't know how much I've told you guys here about being called Big Dog, but Big Dog is my new nickname. Everyone in the gym is calling me Big Dog, and I fucking love it so much. It makes me the happiest. I really am starting to look a little bit swole. I'm like, whoa, I got incredible results working out at home for 10 years, but the weights in the gym be hitting different. Like, the weights in the gym are hitting different. The way that my body is changing, like, I've never seen. People have been asking me a lot lately how much I weigh. I weigh 200 pounds, and I think people are thrown off by that. They're like, oh God, I thought 200 pounds meant I was like fat and gross and disgusting. I think there's such a misconception with the size of people's bodies and all of this, but that's a conversation for another time. But the muscle that I see in my body, I'm just like, wow. Like, I feel like, I feel so fucking good. Like, lifting heavy weights has been life-changing for my confidence and the way that I feel in my body. Like, truly, you want to feel like a badass little bitty, get into that gym, find yourself in the weight section surrounded by beefy men, and yes, intimidating at first. And then when you realize you fit in, like you're a part of this community, like you are one of them, and you don't have to look any type of way to be one of them. Like you can be a beefcake too, honey. Exactly as you are. Get in there and start lifting some heavy weights. But so I did this big bench challenge. It was a 2-week challenge that I won. I don't know if I shared that with y'all here that I won. I think that I did. Yes, I did, because I talked about it in Monday's episode. The problem when you create content every fucking where is sometimes you forget what you said, where you said it. So I always apologize if you're hearing things from me over and over and you're like, Jessica, we already know, STFU. I apologize. But the big bench challenge was awesome. But I've been getting a lot of messages as of recently when I've been sharing like the videos of me benching and the way that I'm getting set up now and how the arch in my back is starting to grow finally, which is so exciting. People have been asking me, why do you have the arch in the back? Why don't you put your back flat on the bench? Why don't you just lay down? Why are you doing it this way? And what I would recommend is to go follow the coach who I've tagged a million times who is teaching this bench setup. The thing is, I'm not a person who, and beware, there are a lot of people that will do this. They will hear something once or do something once and consider themselves an expert. Like, oh, I did this bench setup one time, so now I can teach you how to do it. I'm not that person at all whatsoever. Like, until I fully understand and grasp something and I've been embodying it and practicing it and I'm skilled at it and like can answer questions about it, like I'm no expert on this bench setup. So go follow the expert that taught me how to do it, because there are reasons as to why I'm doing every single thing that I'm doing. Unless I reference back to my notes, I can't tell you every single one of them. The one thing that I can say, that the intention of the arch is, number one, your back is being set up in a proper way to bench press. Also, you're able to drive through your legs, which is a big way to increase your bench press. But when you think of range of motion, if you have a larger arch in your back, that's going to shorten the distance that the bar has to travel for you to complete the bench press. So that's one of the primary reasons. And if you follow a lot of fitness people or watch fitness videos on social media, you will see like sometimes these women have the most insane arches, that their range of motion is literally like 2 inches. They have to drop the bar literally like 2 inches. My range of motion is like, I don't know, 10 or 11 inches. So it's big. I also have very long arms. I'm a tall lifter, and there are some disadvantages for taller lifters, but well, sweat that shit. We just get as good as we can get given the body that we got. But it was really fun to participate in the big bench challenge. I was hoping I'd be able to hit like 190 without the slingshot. I did not get that. Not a big deal. Not stressed about it. I'm not in a rush. I'm enjoying the process. And I refuse to allow myself to be discouraged because things aren't happening fast enough. Like, I've learned my lesson with that. That expectation of quickness and fast results, it only leads to a lack of patience, let down when it comes to your expectations, stress, anxiety, worry, being angry. And none of those things are feelings and emotions that are going to fuel me to show up and work harder. So I'm just really proud of the mindset that I have and just really overall the woman that I've become, because wow, yeah, it's just amazing. Growth is the dopest thing in the world, and I hope that you're participating in it. The one thing that I do want to talk about is, number one, have y'all ever had Safelite repair a windshield for you? My windshield got cracked. So frustrating. It was like 3 weeks ago, and I still have not been able to get Safelite out to my house to fix my windshield. They keep canceling on me. The one day they left me sitting here waiting for 5 hours, didn't even let me know that they weren't coming. I was so disappointed. Meanwhile, the crack in my windshield is growing massively by the day. I just really hope that they can get out here soon. But that was an emergency expense that we had, along with, I think, 2 or 3 other emergency expenses. In the month of April, we had taxes. I made another investment in a coach. April was an insane month when it came to the amount of money that I spent. And it really got me thinking about the financial freedom that I've created and the financial peace that I have and my ability to really manage my money well. And I just really want to encourage any of you who are feeling like you're not in a good place with finances, you're in debt, you're feeling like you're going to live paycheck to paycheck for the rest of your life, I want you to know that there are ways for you to get out of debt, to increase your income, to do something that you love, to create financial freedom, to create financial wealth. I'm so grateful for my coaching business. It has offered me more in life than I ever imagined possible. And I never in my life could have seen myself as an entrepreneur. It is wild that we are coming up on 4 years as a full-time entrepreneur since I quit my job. another episode that I'll probably make with lessons that I've learned, and I'll cry again because I just cannot believe that I am in business and I'm successful and I'm happy and I'm fulfilled and I have such great work-life balance and I love the clients that I work with and I'm not obsessed over making more and more money every single month. Like, I live very comfortably. I'm smart with my money. I invest my money. We have inching up on $1 million in investments. Like, both of our cars are paid off. Like, we're able to live without thinking about, can we afford to buy this? What a fucking blessing and what a gift. And just a reminder that I am not different than you. You are capable of creating the same, but it's going to require you to take some risks on yourself. It's going to require you to believe in yourself and work on your confidence and go after the things that you really want in life, because you deserve to have all of those things. Okay. The last thing that I want to share with you today is that this month in May, my mom is celebrating 4 years sober. Can we believe it? Can we believe that 2020 was 4 years ago? And y'all remember me sitting, I was sitting on the floor in my bedroom, sobbing my eyes out, just saying, like, my mom is at rock bottom. She's literally homeless. She's living out of her car right now. Like, she, remember when she traveled to Delaware? She'd never been to my house and she came to Delaware so I could buy her alcohol. What a shitty position I was in at that point in my life. God, that was such a hard season for me. I did not even realize. I knew it was weighing on me. I knew it was. I felt it every day, the worry and the sickness about it, but I had no idea how much it was weighing on me. I am so beyond grateful that my mom is 4 years sober. I was just talking to her the other day. I talk to her almost every day. And like, to even say that is crazy, because I used to go weeks without talking to my mom. I would avoid her phone calls. I would feel sick when I saw her name on the phone, like literally sick to my stomach. God, what a challenging season of life. But I was talking to her the other day and I was just saying to her how grateful I am for our relationship. And like, she's a part of my life. Like, I send her my workout videos. Like, I send her things that I've done for work. Like, she is very much so a part of my life and I'm a part of hers. I go to her doctor appointments with her and I grocery shop with her and I run errands with her and we play with our cats together and like, she buys the cats toys and it's just, her sobriety has been such a gift to my life and I'm so incredibly grateful. And I just want to say, if you're someone who is struggling with a friend, a family member, a partner who has addiction, I am just sending you the biggest hug and I know what it feels like and I know how hopeless it can feel, but I really encourage you to hold on to hope because it is possible that people will decide that they want to change. I begged my mom for years and years and years and years and years to get sober. I begged her. I remember her being in accidents, having falls, like being in the hospital and I would sit there, another drunken accident, and I would cry and just beg her, "Mom, please, will you get sober? Please, will you get sober? Please, will you get sober?" And the answer was always no, I don't want to. And that's really disheartening. But she came around and my hope is that your loved one will too. And I'm just sending you so much love around that. Okay. I love you guys so much. That is it for our life update. I hope you guys have such a fantastic weekend. Again, a couple of things. Go engage with my content on social media if you haven't been seeing it lately. Send a prayer for Chris on Monday, please. It would be deeply, deeply appreciated. And leave a rating and review here on the Queen of Pep Talks podcast because it means so much to me, okay? I love you guys to absolute pieces. Have the best weekend of your whole entire life, and I will chat with you on Monday's episode. See you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode. If you were inspired by today's pep talk, be sure to share it with me by leaving a rating and review on iTunes so I can keep the encouragement coming your way. I hope you know that your support in helping me grow the podcast this year, it means so much to me. If we aren't already connected on social media, head over to Join Jessica XO on Instagram or join the Join Jessica XO free Facebook community for even more content that will inspire you to show up in your life to the best of your ability. Make sure you check out the show notes of today's episode for links to freebies, upcoming opportunities to work with me, and ways that we can stay connected outside of the podcast. I love you so much, and I cannot wait to chat with you on the next episode of the Queen of Pep Talks podcast. In the meantime, go fuck this day up in the best way possible.